Bibles to Psalms chapter number 33. The book of Psalms, the book of joy. Psalms chapter 33. You notice in your bulletins, the front of it is marked rejoice. I asked the Lord, what would he have me to say to the church? He said, just sit down, Felix. I'm going to tell him to rejoice. It is pivotal to understand that you don't only have joy during Holy Week and you celebrate the resurrection. God established that we would have joy always. It is something that we have been blinded and fooled by the enemy, that we would go into a pathetic mode and feel sorry for ourselves because of a situation. The devil is a lie. We bind that spirit in the name of Jesus. We're going to claim and put benediction on that right now, because you shall rejoice because you are filled with the joy of the Lord. Let me get on over to Psalms. You guys there? All right, I'm under pressure. You got to wait on me. Amen. 33. That's it. That's the one. Psalms 33. Let's pray. Gracious God, our Father, we thank you for this divine time that you have given us. We thank you, Lord, that you have ushered us into your presence through praise and worship, through the act of giving, through the communion, Lord, and through the gift of song. We thank you for the Levites who have ushered us through praise and worship, Lord God. And we have capitalized that we are at our breakthrough, Father God, and we thank you for it. And now, Lord God, as we are here, we are in a oneness with you. Now release your spirit on us, Father, that we will be changed to love you more, to come closer to you. We break down every wall of separation that has kept us from communing with you. And thereby, Lord God, we know by faith it's done, and we rejoice in you for it. Now come and feed us, for we are at your table. And Father, you said you prepareth a table before us in the presence of our enemy. So every enemy that sits down, Lord, bless them too, for we are in your presence, Father. And we thank you now that we can eat now, Lord. And now, Father God, as I stand before you, I declare, Father, that I'm only a vessel. You are the preacher and the teacher. Therefore, I commit my spirit unto you. Press it down. Move it to the side, that your spirit would raise up and speak to your people, that we would become more like you through your word that transforms us. Father, I surrender unto you. Have your way with this vessel. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Beginning with verse number 1 of the 33rd Psalm. And this psalm, it speaks to the sovereignty of our God. And he says, rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous. That means those of you that are called by God, rejoice. For praise from the upright is beautiful. Praise the Lord with the harp. Make melodies to him with an instrument of 10 strings. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully with a shout of joy. Verse 4. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works is done in truth. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. That was good. Let's read verse 4 again. For the word of the Lord is right. One more time. For the word of the Lord is right. Now skip over to chapter 37. Same, Psalms 37. For the word of the Lord is right. We there? Verse 1. Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like grass and wither as the green herbs. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. Oh, here's some good stuff. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because the man who brings wicked schemes to pass, cease from anger. Uh-oh, underline that. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. Oh, we gotta get that one. Verse number 9. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Amen. We're going to be extrapolating what God has to say to you from 37. But God spoke to us in verse 33. Verse number 1, he says, rejoice. Verse number 4, it says, for the word of the Lord is right. And I just want you to meditate on this. Rejoice, the Lord is right. Amen. Give your neighbor a high five and say, the Lord is right. As we look at the text, and we've been so expressive during the holy month, and the world was sending out all these joyful messages about Jesus dying on the cross and that we all have eternal life. But when Jesus did all of that, he was still speaking to us, and what he has to say is right. He says to us to rejoice. The word rejoice, it really means to be cheerful, to be glad. It's joy in action. The joy that's in you, the Spirit of God, is joy. And the Bible says rejoice. That means express what's in you, not what's outside of you. Let me try to help you understand what that means. It really means that if you focus on what's on the outside, it will change you. It will change you not to activate or act on what is in the inside. You are still in the world, but you are not of the world. But yet we have sometimes let the world control the joy that's inside of us. But truly, truly, God has more power than the world. If you would focus on your power source, you would be able to activate the joy and rejoice in the Lord always. Meaning that if you focused on him, you would spend less time focusing on the problem that he allowed to enter your life. Because he didn't put the problem in your life so that you could focus on it, but more so that you could focus on him, because he is the solution to every problem. I really need some believers right now, because this is a message for the church. If the believers are praying that the word would come forth and speak to the church, I need a little help up in here. The word rejoice is something that Jesus gives us a command to do. And the church has been walking around with their head down, and because stuff happens, they get intimidated by the stuff. And they're so become consumed with the stuff. But the Bible says that stuff won't last anyway. It's only a matter of time. And so if you really understand God, we're going to get to the part where it says to feast on the faithfulness. If you understand God, you've been in trouble before. And there's some trouble that you were able to get out of, and there was some stuff that only God could get you out of. Do you remember when you prayed, God, please help me? And nobody else could help you, but God showed up and he helped you. And every time you were up against the wall and there was no place for you to go, God showed up and parted a Red Sea for you, and you were able to move on. So then we should understand that the joy that he placed in us, it should be a joy fulfilled. Fulfilled means the action of the joy is always evident, which means if you focus on God, you'll find yourself like Paul, whether abound or abase, I find myself content in God. I'm going to get my shout on. I'm going to get my praise on. If everything else around me is toe up from the flow up, God is still going to see that I am joyful. I am cheerful. Yeah, why are you smiling? Your stuff is all messed up. It don't matter about the stuff. It matters about the stuff that's in me. The Most High God dwells in me. Listen, I shall rejoice and I shall be glad. Rejoice 55 times. David, the one who was chased into a cave by somebody that was jealous of him, runs into the cave, anointed to be king, but still running. And some of us got to run around the block and get tired. David ran and ran and ran from something that he didn't even do. And we complain when something happens. And God, what did I do? I didn't even do anything. And they're doing this to me. God says, I put that on you so you would run to me. When David ran, he ran into the cave. And when he got into the cave, he called upon the Lord, and the Lord heard him, and the Lord had made the cave for him. Sometimes God will run you to a place where you can just get all by yourself, because God wants an intimate encounter with you, because you have not been allowing the joy that he has placed in you to always work outside of you. Because if the church would show that they're joyful at all times, the world will come running, But sometimes we don't know, look any different than the world because we get all frustrated and act confused. You're not confused. God didn't give you the spirit of confusion. He gave you love, power, and a sound mind. You have a sound mind. And sometimes God will get you to a place where you can see his reflection. And the women are studying the topic reflection. Because the world have told you that you're one thing for so long that you still look at how the world views you. But you need to start looking at how God views you. That no matter what you've done, you're still beautiful in the eyes of the King. No matter what you have to go through, you're still beautiful in the eyes of the King. He sees you righteous. So, David writes in Psalms, he says, rejoice. Then he said, for the Lord, in verse 4, he said, for the word of the Lord is right. You said, preacher, help me. I'm having a problem rejoicing all the time. And if joy is in me, I want to rejoice all the time. Listen. How do you do that? We're going to get in the text for a minute, but I was having an experience where I was watching the Warrior game. And I was watching the Warrior game with some folks. And when the Warriors were winning, oh, you should have seen them. They were showing how they were rejoicing and clapping. And when Blake scored a point and it put the Warriors up, that expression changed over a basketball game. And they said to me, one of my daughters said, well, if the Warriors lose, I'm going to be depressed. And that's what happened. We get so caught up in what the world is doing that we start basing how we respond on what happens in the world. And our response should always be to God. Because when we respond to God, we are in communication to God. That's why when we were singing the song Breakthrough, we began to worship God, and we felt the presence of God manifest in the place. And when you begin to worship the things of the world, you have none of God's presence, and it steals you your peace. We're going to see in a minute how Jesus deals with letting the enemy steal your peace. But when I was sitting there with the Warriors, they said, what are you going to do if the Warriors lose? So I'm going to be happy, just like if they win. That's because you don't like the word. No, I love the word. I love them. I like the word. I wanted them to win, but it doesn't change my joy. I don't care what happens. You could beat me down, and you won't steal my joy. You could take everything from me, and you won't take my joy. I went through probably the most humiliating experience around the age of 50. I started the church and there was a movement on prosperity. And listen, I walked away from a job. We were making a whole lot of money back in those. Walked away from my job, and I'm trusting God for just doing what he had me to do. And when we started the church, we lost everything. Lost my job. My wife lost her job. I lost a child. We lost everything and found myself at a point of humiliation where I had to call my dad at 50 years old and say, they're closing on my house. Can I come live with you? Can you imagine the humiliation of a 50-year-old man have to move in with his parents? And God says, if you're going to be a part of this church, You're going to have to start right at the starting ground. You're starting in humility. I got to build you down so I can build you up. So when a windstorm comes your way, it won't take your joy. It won't take your peace. You'll be able to tell them, no, you are down with me on the ground and you're with me when I'm up. Whether up or down, I find myself content in him. Took my cars, it didn't take my joy. Still happy. People ask, why you smile so much? I got Jesus. I might not get nothing else, but as long as I got Jesus, everything else will have to catch up to me. But I got the one who, listen, who steals the water. I have the one who, oh goodness, who maketh my enemies my footstool. I have the one that'll pick me up no matter how low I go. I have the one. And the church, we get embarrassed to tell our story. But it's cool. He said, Pastor, you never go through nothing. Every time I see you, you smiling. Come on and have a conversation with me. You'll know what pastor go through. But it doesn't change who God called me to be. And it, listen, it don't change. God is right. If, listen, if he takes something from you, he's still right. If he gives something to you, he's right. Why is it that we only want to praise him when he gives something to us instead of when he, to take something? Oh, he knows what's right for us. He has to remove some stuff before he could grant you some stuff. And for so long, I try to hold on to this and hold on to that. I'm tired of holding on to this and that. I just want to hold on to him. If I got him, then I don't worry about this or that, because he knows whatever I need, he shall supply. Trying to hold on to friends, and the same friend you trying to hold on to is trying to take you down. Let that joker go. He's not good for you anyway. She's not the one for you anyway. It don't matter. Certain friends are posing as friends. They are friends. They're foes. If they're not a blessing to your life, guess what? Newscast, they're a curse to your life. So David starts off and he's talking to the people of God. Why? Because you were called righteous. Even though you still got some sin, you were called righteous because he died for your sin. Therefore, the sin is no longer against you. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, that's enough to rejoice all day about. You know all that stuff you're doing in secret? Stuff you keep trying to cover up and hope nobody see it. All of it, he died for it. You're free. And who the Spirit has set free is free indeed. So let's get to the Word of God. See how can we rejoice? How do we get to the point of rejoicing? Number one, you're going to have to quit tripping on everybody else. Fret not for evildoers. And stop tripping on the ones who are prospering and still doing evil. Isn't it something how you will pass by somebody on the way to church that's out there washing their brand new car and you know they're doing evil, and here you are struggling to catch the bus? But the Bible says, don't worry about that. Their time is short. And the wealth of the wicked is being stored up for the righteous. And if you're righteous, then you don't ever judge yourself by anybody because it's not wise. So the first, and then you become depressed because you're thinking about how blessed somebody else is and how what a sinful life they have. And then the first thought, maybe I should just go back to who I used to be. Newsflash, you can't. You can try if you want, but I'll be waiting here to greet you when you come back. Because you belong to God now, and he who begun a good work in you will finish it until the day that Jesus come back again. And church, we heard he's coming back again. Looking at people. The second thing is looking at problems. You got a problem. Your outcome outweighs your income. How it gonna work, God? It's gonna work. When it's gonna work, God? When I work it out. What do I do, God? Wait on me. We deal with a problematic situation. Do you understand that God allows problematic situations to get you closer to him? Do you know that David, he became closer to God when trouble started chasing him? He ran up into a cave when he was all by himself, and that brother got by himself and began to praise the Lord. And God sent a choir to help him because he was in a rock. He said, I'll make the rocks cry out. So when David said, bless, there was an echo. It said, bless, 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 bless. Then he said, deliver me, deliver, deliver, deliver. Bless, 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 deliver. So you understand, God will get a praise out of you one way or another. So he will have trouble chase you. And when trouble gets on you, if trouble gets bad enough, you'll run to the church house. Most of us didn't come to Christ until trouble came your way. And then you knew where to go because God had chose you before the foundation of the earth. So you knew where your home was, and it ran you to the church house. The other thing about trouble is trouble don't last always. Last thing that you got in trouble about 15 years ago, you called on God. That trouble's gone. So what's the use of worrying about it? It's gone. And so then more trouble comes your way. Guess what? It's leaving too. Everything that happens to you is designed to get you closer to God. And it's designed to bless somebody else. And so quit complaining about your trouble. Because that trouble is meant for you. So it could bless you and build you. Number three. It says, trust in the Lord and do good. I love that verse because it's twofold instruction. Number one, it says trust in God. Then it says this, and take some action because you trust in him. So if you trust in God, then do something good. What am I saying? If you trust God and evil's coming at you, don't respond to evil, respond to God. Listen, or respond to evil in a good way. Yeah, I know you cursed me, but I'm here to bless you. And so when you trust God, you'll bless somebody that's cursing you because that's the word of God. Now, God said, bless those who despitefully misuse you. That's what the word says. Bless them. Now, wait. Is the word right? Now, if we understand the words right, we need to transform some of our action. Am I telling the truth? Amen. I just wanted to make sure I was talking to the right people. But it says, trust God and do good. Then it says, and dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. God has been faithful over you. Even when you didn't ask him to save you, he rescued you. There's some stuff that could have happened to you. And you know, if God wouldn't have been with me, I wouldn't be here today. God has been faithful after faithful after faithful after. He has never let you down. You've let him down over and over, but he never changed his characteristics. What am I saying? God never changed his characteristics, and he never let you down, and he wants you to be just like him. When people let you down, don't let it change your characteristic. You still have to be joyful unto the Lord. Some people can let us down and we start getting mad at the people. God didn't get mad at you when you let them down. And when you get mad at the people, don't do nothing for you. But if you meditate on his faithfulness and just say, God, they let me down, but you never let me down. Fill my tank and let it overflow, because I will need to walk in the overflow. This joker has disturbed me, but I need your peace. So fill me up so that I can walk in this overflow. Listen, sometimes this stuff just pressures us to the point that we don't recognize who we are and we don't say nothing. For years, I went around trying to feed off of the world because of all the pressure and all the hurt. And I didn't say anything because men are prideful. That's why I like you to come to the men's meeting, because we get into it and we talk about everything and we let it all out, because pride is put to the side. Real men cry. Real men tell the truth. Real men let it go. Real men have issues. Real men keep it real. Can you imagine carrying a whole big old garbage bag around with all of your junk? That bag so heavy, you carry in a bag, but you all dressed up in a suit, and you look don't want nobody to see the bag behind you, but the bag will soon weigh you down in the pressures of the world and cause you to look to the world to do more things. But when you listen, when you can go somewhere to a safe place and just dump it all out and say, I am who I am, but I need help from the Most High God, then God can do something with you. Let me hurry up and get through this text real quick. So he says, feed off his faithfulness. Listen, every time we go through something that's bigger than us, sometimes it feels like it's going to crush us. And God puts so much pressure on us, but the pressure is not meant to kill you. It's meant to strengthen you. Listen, some of us didn't learn how to worship until the pressure came on us. Because sometimes it gets so heavy, all you can do is cry. All you can do is call on the Lord. And we walk around and we hold it all in and we take in all of this pressure. But listen, good news for you. Everything under pressure has a release. Your mouth is your release. It depends on what you say. Listen, if you speak the word of God is right, and you will speak right to your life. But sometimes we don't say nothing. We just clam up, hold it all in, but it's time out for the church to hold it all in. There need to let it go. If you don't know what to say, just open your mouth and let God move whatever it is in your mouth. When a can gets under pressure, filled with the fragrance, it's worth nothing until somebody comes along, and even the can will speak. You notice when you press it and it gets under pressure, and out comes the thing that was inside. It comes on the outside, and the thing that's on the inside of you needs to come on the outside, because there's some people who need to be blessed by the fragrance of God that's wrapped up in you, and you haven't said nothing. And if you don't know what to say, just stand still and shh. go ahead and fill the house with his fragrance. He's faithful. He's working on something. Let them talk about you if they want to. They talked about Jesus. Expect to be talked about. Number four, he says, delight yourself also in the Lord. I'm delighted to be chosen. That's why I smile so much, because I didn't deserve to be chosen. I'm just delighted to be chosen. It's something. I read a book about Tony Dungy. He was waiting to be chosen in the NFL. But when he got chosen by God, it changed everything. It's something to be chosen. Being chosen of God puts you above everybody in life. When you get chosen of God, you get lifted up into citizenship. So when people try to tear you down, they can't tear you down. Like I said in Bible study the other night, it's just a boomerang effect. What they throw out at you comes back to them. It matters what you say. And if somebody is speaking evil against you, it's not against you, it's against the God in you. And the last time I checked, God can fight his own battles. We're not supposed to fight those battles. We are supposed to faith this thing out and trust God and just delight ourselves in him. Then he says, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. God will give you the desires of your heart. And sometimes when I was young, I used to think, oh, well, I desire this and I desire that. Oh, and I desire to have this and I desire to have that. But that's not what the scripture means. It means he will give you his desires. Now check this out. If he gives you his desires, let's line the word up. If he gives you his desires, now you have his desires. So what you ask for, you shall receive according to his will. And because you have his desires, now you have his will. Now you begin to desire the things of God and your prayers get answered. Now you understand why your prayer wasn't answered yet, because God wanted you to desire him first so that he can give you the new desire so your prayer will line up with his will. Doesn't mean that your prayer doesn't line up with his will. You just haven't worked the system right. You got to start it off with delighting yourself with him and understanding that he's going to give you the desire, and the desire will be when. Then he says, commit your way. Finally, commit your way unto the Lord and trust also, and he shall bring it to pass. Bring what to pass? Your righteousness. It's not up to you. Only thing up to you is obedience. He's going to do the rest. And then he says, rest. Number seven, rest in him. And wait. What are you waiting for? You're waiting for his word to be true. Guess what? It's true. What did he say? In Matthew 5:12, he says, rejoice and be exceedingly glad. In Luke 6:23, he says, rejoice in that day. And then he said, leap for joy. And in John 14:28, he says, if you love me, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord when? Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Why should you rejoice in the Lord? Because he said so. Rejoice in the Lord. Why? I don't have nothing yet. Well, he already spoke his word. I came that you would have life, and that you would have life more abundantly. He didn't come so that you could have life less. He said you would have life more abundantly. Now, if you believe the word of God, you can rejoice no matter where you are, because the promise of God is for the abundant life for his people. And if all of his people understood that you have this abundant life already lined up for you, and all you have to do is go towards it. Now, check this out real quick. Understand that there's something that you have to do. You're going to have to open up your mouth. In the walls, in the book of Joshua, they were locked outside of the blessings of God, and they had to walk around, listen, Jericho for 7 days. And on the seventh day, the walls didn't come down. On the seventh day, it said the trumpets blew and the people lifted up a loud shout. And when they lifted up a loud shout, the walls that separated them from kingdom living came down. What am I saying? Listen, the Lord's word is right. And it says rejoice. And when the people can rejoice before the Lord, everything will be all right. If you would just rejoice. Why? Because he said, he called all people. All people. To a right word. Which means it's all right. It's all right. No matter where you are, it's all right. Why? Because your only destination is go higher in him. Listen. Rejoice. And again, I say, rejoice. Now, wait. A word just came out. Now, if Jesus was standing here and said, rejoice, what would be your response? Everybody rest to your feet. We're getting ready to go.